And with that, the 2024 season comes to an end.
All we want is progress to advance the lives of South Africans.
We deal with criminals.
We're going to smoke them out. They will come out.
What the heck?
Minangi 1 by 10. Have a slice.
Latoya's lies! Latoya's lies! Yes, sis!
Jessica, we are live.
Reporting for Times Live.
Reporting for Times Live.
Reporting for Times Live.
I am Bulelani Nonyokela.
I am Thabo Shabalala.
I am Demi Luzo.
So you've probably heard of the Spotify rap and the Apple rap. Well, us as the Times Live news team bring you a different kind of rap, looking at the stories that made headlines in 2024. I am joined by some of the people who you've seen their bylines, some of the people behind the podcast here at Arena. I'm talking about none other than
Bulelani Nonyuks
and
Demi Buzo.
What a year it's been, guys. I mean, yeah. Where do we start? So what we're going to do is we're going to take you month by month and try and give you some of the stories that we think really made headlines. And if you think we missed anything, please comment below on this article and then share your thoughts also on some of the stories we've been speaking about. The first story was back in Jan when South Africa took a group of lawyers to the biggest court. What's this court called again, guys?
The International Court of Justice.
South Africa had filed an application at the International Criminal Court to institute proceedings against Israel. Now, we all know what's happening in Israel. It's been, I think it's now a year. Is it a year? Or over a year now?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a while. So the application to the World Court concerns alleged violations by Israel of its obligation under the Genocide Convention in relation to the Palestine in the Gaza Strip. We know, I think, over 44,000 people have been killed since this thing has started. I think it's actually more. We know how, you know, counting figures and all of that, some people can get it wrong, but I honestly think it's more. And over 2 million people have been displaced in the Gaza Strip, and clearly it seems like Israel is not giving up, because recently the ICC announced that a warrant of arrest for the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been released. And I don't know what you guys make of the story.
I think obviously for an African state and for them to do this was a big deal, considering historical relations between the countries, right?
Yeah.
However, as a South African woman living in this country and seeing all the different issues and challenges we face, I just felt like it was like a mother leaving their child, her children at home to go feed the kids next door.
Charity starts at home.
At home. And that's how I felt. And obviously a lot of South Africans took to social media, you know, to congratulate what South Africa was doing. And I'm not saying it's not great. I just wish the same effort and manpower and financials were put into the challenges facing our very own country.
But I do think the energy that South Africa wanted was that this is the same thing that South Africa went through with apartheid. Yeah. I think most people
Of those ties. We also went through something similar of these injustices that have been happening. And the ANC has been like a friend of the Palestine
people.
Since like the 1950s, we've heard quotes from Nelson Mandela, like there's history there.
The violence and the destruction in Palestine and Israel did not begin on the 7th of October 2023. The Palestinians have experienced systematic oppression and violence for the last 76 years, at least since 2004. Israel continues to exercise control over the airspace, territorial waters, land crossing, water, electricity, and civilian infrastructure, as well as over key government functions.
And now we move on to February, South Africa's golden girl. Who, I mean, it's been such a magical year for her. And I must say, I never thought there would be a South African artist who would make such an international success that even Americans started hating on her because of how many awards she was winning. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I mean, make me sweat, make me harder.
Her hit song.
So from Jersey based to living it up in America, Tyler won the Grammy for best African music performance she wanted for her song Water, and that was just the start of her replicant of awards. Of awards.
And what? She's just 22.
Really? Yeah. Like, born in 2002.
She was the youngest African to be awarded this, awarded a Grammy, actually, just in general.
In general. And after that, I think many awards started coming. I mean, she's
the first to get a Grammy.
No, she's not the first, the youngest.
Because I was thinking later.
Well, she is the first South African to ever win a VMA. By the way, that is a lot. That is a great achievement. What do you guys make of Tyla, and what do you guys just make of her success? And also, what do you make of Americans now starting to hate on her? Was it expected?
It's bound to happen. No, not everyone's going to like you.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why there's so much hate and they call her an industry plant, which I don't really understand. It's as if they're saying she's deliberately put there. I don't know, but I'm a big fan of Tyla. I'm a big fan of any South African person winning. She's a woman of color. She's young.
Yeah.
It's her time and no one can take it away from her.
Mm.
And she's talented, so... It's fine. People must talk. The accolades are still going to keep piling up.
Do you think there will be more accolades in the future?
This year, I promise that there's more to come.
Do you think they won't snub her? Because I know how America works. I mean, already they started snubbing her. Her album, Tyla, her debut album, was not nominated anyway in the Grammys for next year. Do you think this is the start of them snubbing her? You know, we all know how America is.
Obviously, but I feel like she's also won so much.
Yeah, I mean, she's already won 30-something awards. Yeah.
Yes, I feel like she can just sit in that and bask in that ambience for now. She's done well.
Yeah,
you know?
She really has.
I think also it would be nice to see her being recognized in her own country as well.
I think we've recognized her. I think she got a few summers. She got a few metros as well.
Yes. I think she also won metros. There could be more accolades that could come her way.
Do you think she should be? She should win. What's that award called by the president? The Order of Ikhamanga.
I think she deserves it already. She's done things that even
the likes of Miriam Makeba, God bless her soul, even the likes of Dr. John Gani.
Okay, what has she done that you... Yes, she has won. Maybe she's talented and stuff, but what really qualifies her?
What are the requirements for the Order of Ikhamanga?
I think it's basically the president awarding you for your excellence. I think she deserves it already.
I don't think it's a bad thing.
The time is now.
Why not?
It's early.
There's no criteria for the Order of Ikhamanga, by the way. It doesn't mean when you're 8 years old.
Yes.
I think she deserves
it. She's done excellent.
Name me one South African that has won a VMA and an EMA and a B. So, I mean, how many BETs did she win? One. I think she won one BET.
I don't want to be controversial, but you can win awards. Uh-huh.
But it's something.
Yeah, you can. I can win awards.
Yeah.
And you cannot win. Like, you can be gooder than me. You can be better than me.
Yeah.
I will win awards. Yeah. And so there are people that deserve it more.
So do you think she doesn't deserve it yet?
Yet. Let's wait. Let's give her time.
Order of Ikhamanga in bronze, okay?
Wow.
It's early. Let's
I don't think so. I think she deserves it because this girl has done things that many South Africans wanted. I don't think you understand. Like, for me, I don't think you guys get how big of a deal this is.
No, I support anything with Tyla. Yeah. I also would like her to venture into something else. We know Rihanna went into hair.
Acting.
To beauty, to acting.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like she should. She should explore other things. So even if she may be snubbed for future awards in America, it shouldn't limit her.
She's young, she's talented.
I feel like, the world is her oyster. Anything with Tyla and she wins, I'm there. Like,
No, Sammy, I think she does.
I think she's going places, but let's wait with the orders.
Before the order. Before any order.
Oh, my... What the heck? What? Oh, my gosh, guys. This is crazy. Like, I never thought I'd say I won a Grammy at 22 years old. Last year, God decided to change my whole life. So thank you so much to God. Thank you to my team, my family. I know my mother's crying somewhere in here.
And then in February, I mean, we've been dealing with this man for almost two years now. He has the same name as me. You know, when Demi sent me this script, I saw Thabo. I'm like, when the hell did I? I'm talking about none other than Thabo Best. We saw ridiculous demands from Besta.
Thabo Besta and his girlfriend Nandipama Kodumana, with 7 co-accused, face charges ranging from fraud to violation of a corpse and arson. They were in the dock at the Free State High Court on Wednesday. Besta's new lawyer told the court his client had complaints about prison.
This morning I received information regarding accused number 7, Bester that he is taking chronic medication for diabetics, but he refused to have his food this morning, and he also again refused to take his breakfast that I brought from him from Grootvlei. I discussed that with his new lawyer, and I asked him to address that with his client.
So what is the request?
My request is that my client receive food conducive to a diabetic, Your Worship. That is not high in sugar, and that a diabetic can tolerate, if I may say so, in respect to the food. Your Worship, I would also like to bring to the court's attention, I further have instructions from my client that he has been refused or denied any phone calls to his legal representatives while he is in custody. There's also the aspect of clothes where my client has been denied access to his own clothing.
Clothes?
To his own clothing, Your Worship, even for purposes of coming to this court.
Excuse me, your client clothes, is it in risk? Is he an awaiting trial prisoner?
Your Worship, indeed. Accused number 7
is awaiting
coming to court, Your Worship. He's been forced by the authorities as per my instruction.
Is it in respect of attending
this court today, Your Worship?
Or is it also in respect of the other days? Or
in respect of court. That's my instruction, Your Worship. In respect, my Lord, my client is being targeted in this matter, where he's directed to only wear what the officials at the prison direct him to wear, my Lord.
It is correctional services who are responsible for his food, because accused number 7 is a sentenced prisoner. So he can't wear whatever he wants. And I don't understand the fact that he didn't have access to his lawyers. The way I understood it this morning, that this new legal team only received this morning instructions. Now, to what legal team didn't he have anything that they deny him access? That is the way I was informed.
Did not say that your client is an awaiting trial prisoner?
No.
I beg you.
He's a sentenced prisoner.
Okay, are you aware of that, Mr. Prisoner? Excuse me, Mr. Seedet? Mr. Seedet? Because you brought me under the impression that he's awaiting trial.
My Lord, he's awaiting trial in respect of this matter, but he is a sentenced prisoner.
I see. Okay.
Indeed,
thanks,
my Lord.
Thanks, Mr. Seedet.
Reporting for Times Live, I am Bulelani Nonyukela.
You are into the story. Can you just give us a few highlights of him asking for a laptop?
The recent one was the electronic devices he was asking for. Even if he was like, even if it's without internet, he wanted to prepare for his deportation case. That's what he said. The other requests were that I remember at some point he was about the food he was being served. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah, and then another one.
The clothes
that he couldn't wear because he stopped wearing his Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, because we're charging him every time.
No, I think they just ran out.
Yeah.
Mind you, this is a convicted murderer and rapist. He's making all these demands. So brazen in the court of law.
The person I really feel sorry for is Nandipha Makudumane, who, by the way, started losing her hair as this thing went by.
I don't feel sorry for her. These people killed a person, and you don't know what else they might have done. So I feel nothing for her.
I mean, there was a point where she brought the Bible.
She knew what she was getting into.
Please.
No, I'm just saying. You know, there was a time where Thabo was emotional and ranting in court, and she got all emotional. So Utelulu, and it's fine. She must pay for it.
I remember when they sat together. That was the moment. Everyone was like, "Oh, the lovebirds." Oh, someone should write a book. Whoever's listening to this, and you're an author or a publisher, please let's write a book about this. Oh, do a movie, and then we move on to March. Sad story. I think till this day, Jocelyn Smith has not been found. Are they even still looking for her?
Four suspects appeared in the Frederiksberg Magistrates Court on Thursday in connection with the disappearance of six-year-old Jocelyn Smith from Saldanha Bay. The suspects, two women and two men, aged between 26 and 34, included her mother, Kelly Smith. The six-year-old disappeared after being left in the care of her mother's boyfriend at the Middelbos informal settlement on February 19. The suspects faced charges of human trafficking and kidnapping. Speaking to the media, MEC for Police Oversight and Community Safety in the Western Cape, Regan Allen, said more charges might be added and further arrests made.
We are one step closer to ultimately finding Jocelyn or what actually happened to her. And today is very significant. We have noted the two particular charges in terms of human trafficking, but also in terms of kidnapping that was on the charge sheet. And we sincerely trust that the investigation will now unfold in terms of what has happened. But we are still keeping hope alive, knowing that we are wanting to ultimately find Jocelyn unharmed. Further to that, I am aware that further charges can be still added to the sheet, and we will be closely working with the South African Police Service to ensure that no stone is left unturned. We are talking about a six-year-old. We would never want to politicize this particular matter. It's a six-year-old, and for that particular reason, we are asking members of the community, of our stakeholders, to ultimately allow the South African Police Service and various stakeholders, including the NPA, to conduct their work. We have also been briefed by the IO, and we have a dedicated team of officers from the PC's office, together with officers that have been helping and assisting from other spheres of government. So in that regard, we are one step closer, because ultimately this particular matter has been in the media domain. We are aware that there is a number of other persons where we are applying the same pressure.
Western Cape Acting Social Development MEC, Professor Noma French Mbombo, says two of Jocelyn's minor siblings are under their care.
There are other two siblings, which now they are under the Department of Social Development. They are with the families, but the social development is taking care of that, and also they are looking after them. So my appeal is about, at least if you could be able to identify and get to know the answers of the whereabouts of Jocelyn. It doesn't matter whether it comes as a body or what, but that's all what we want to know. But I also want to thank the communities, because if it wasn't for the community of the Frederiksberg, we wouldn't have been able to be even getting kind of this mileage, and also in terms of the spotlight on this case.
The matter has been postponed to March 13 for bail investigations. Reporting for Times Live, I'm Demi Buzo.
I mean, the case is ongoing. So for those that don't know, this story is about the disappearance of a six-year-old, Jocelyn Smith, from Saldanha Bay in the Western Cape. So people have been arrested, including her mother and the mother's boyfriend. And they are being charged with human trafficking. In the indictment, in the court case, it's actually said that she had been planning to sell her kids.
It was a couple of tens of thousands, maybe 26,000, something like that.
I think for me, it hits home, because if there's one thing I'm scared of in this world is human trafficking.
Yeah.
And so many people go missing, especially children. I think as soon as the matter started, it went beyond our borders and we involved Interpol. I think a lot of people lost hope that we would actually find Jocelyn. We don't even know if she's still alive.
Do you think we'll ever find her, though, guys? Do you think it will be another case where she's found in a bag, cut into pieces?
Yeah, we don't know.
But I mean, as I said, and it's not to go at our legal system and law enforcement in this country, but the moment she left South African shores, it was done.
Mm.
Yeah. And she's one of how many kids?
Yeah, one of many kids. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so... It's said that the accused will remain in custody. They are awaiting pretrial hearing at the High Court on the 31st of January.
Well, it's good for them. Hopefully, they will look better when they appear in court on January. I'm sorry, like even the way they stayed, guys. Yeah. I remember there was news outlets who went to the area where Jocelyn stayed. Let's be honest, yeah. Also in March, we had something that's very synonymous in South Africa: corruption. We had a speaker of the National Assembly being arrested, who is facing 12 counts of corruption. One of them being money laundering for allegedly receiving kickbacks when she was defense minister. I'm talking about none other than Umam Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula. She is accused of receiving more than 2 million rand after trying to solicit more than 4 million in money from contractors while she was defense minister. She is the first National Assembly speaker. Actually, I think she's the first, a person of a high position to be arrested.
The state has reconsidered its decision to charge a second accused person to join former National Assembly Speaker Nosiviwe Mapisa Nqakula in the dock. On Tuesday, Mapisa Nqakula stood alone in a bright blue dress when her matter returned before the Pretoria Magistrates Court, where a second accused was expected to be charged with her. She could head to trial, as the state has not decided to charge many other accused persons. State Prosecutor Beki Mnyati.
The state intends to arraign you to the High Court for trial in the High Court. You are the man for that purpose, to enable the state to prepare the indictment. The matter is postponed until the 9th of July 2024. You are currently on bail. Your bail is extended on the condition that the 9th of July 2024, you are at this court, rather at court number 60. I will explain that further, and you remain in attendance until the matter is dealt with from 8:30 in the morning. You understand? This is court number E. For record purposes, we choose to mention court number 16, but your counsel, your attorneys, as well as the state, and my office will liaise with everyone involved about which court exactly the matter will be at. In the event that has not happened, be at court number 16, which is on this building, the 9th of July 2024. You understand that? The conditions of bail that were set on the 4th of April 2024, when you appeared for the first time, they continue to exist and continue to operate without any amendments.
Mapisa Nqakula is on a 50,000 rand bail and faces 12 counts of corruption and one of alleged money laundering. She is accused of receiving more than 2 million in kickbacks for a defense contract when she was defense minister. Mapisa Nqakula has denied all allegations. Reporting for Times Live, I am Thabo Tshabalala.
I just remember her first court appearance, her eyes were, you know, when you've been crying, red, like the inside meat was red, and it's like, Umam Honesty.
Exactly.
Now,
that's what I'm thinking.
So she knew her political career, it was over there.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of that, there's a quote in her affidavit in court, she was saying, when I elected to convene a parliamentary inquiry into the Palapala matter, I made political enemies. That's what she said
Because of Palapala.
But
it would make sense. It would make sense.
And we know black women are sacrificial lambs, like are easily thrown under the bus.
And she was thrown under the bus already. Remember when the riots happened? She was defense minister. Cyril Ramaphosa took her out and placed her as National Assembly Speaker. You know what I mean?
Black women are sacrificial lambs in the political landscape. There are many. Not to say that they don't commit the crimes, but it's like, we all did it, but you go first. The example.
In the recent appearance, she asked that the court really give her a passport so that she can travel to to Botswana.
Why is she traveling?
Why, what about
it's a holiday.
Guys, it's Christmas.
No, but
maybe
also,
she has family in Botswana.
You're being charged. I feel like sometimes these politicians, when they're facing allegations, you actually need to just fly under the radar. Just show as well that there's some remorse. Mm. You actually acknowledge what you're doing. You can't be traveling. No.
But friend,
she
can't come there and say, like, her life can't stop.
This is damning allegations. It should stop.
But she has not been found guilty, though.
Yes, but still, like, the spotlight is on you. I wouldn't want to travel. I would be so depressed and sitting in my home.
Well, she looks depressed.
She looks better now.
Oh, yeah, now she looks really, really better.
In her recent appearance, she looks better.
Let's move on to the month of April, where South Africans were so happy when this happened. And this has been a conversation that's been going on for years. I mean, Panyaza Lesufi announced it last year. And then there was Fikile Mbalula saying no, this and that. But ETOs were finally scrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see the, what do you call them?
The gantries.
Gantries. Mm. Why does it still go toot toot by me? I don't know about your...
Well, I'm not even from here. I never got it, so...
The scrapping of e-tolls will be effective from midnight on April 11th. This means from April 12th, e-tolls will no longer exist and Gauteng road users will no longer be required to pay for the service. The tolling system has been live since 2013. This was announced during a media briefing on Wednesday, held by the Department of Transport with the South African National Roads Agency, SANRAL, and Gauteng Premier, Panyaza Lesufi. Transport Minister, Sindisiwe Chikunga, provided an overview of what the end of e-tolls means for the scheme and what road users can expect regarding their accounts, tags, and overall mobility.
The obligation to pay e-toll remains till midnight on 11th April 2024. Road users will no longer be required to do anything when e-toll is cancelled. Importantly, current valid accounts can still be used for payment as toll plazas, at toll plazas and other valued added services, including parking. This is critical for the ongoing long-term benefits of interoperability. The tag beeps will stop after midnight on the 11th of April 2024. The gantry lights and cameras will remain, and they will remain on for road safety purposes, but also for crime fighting, as I've indicated.
Don't get rid of your tags just yet. SANRAL Engineering Executive Lo Kanemeyer said the technology will remain and be repurposed as they plan to add more services for other sectors.
But the e-tag as a payment instrument remains effective and operational countrywide. So, I think that's the critical message. The e-tags are not stopping working today. You're all on the 11th, your e-tag account or your e-toll or your account that you have at the facility doesn't stop, because it's continued to be used at all plazas countrywide.
With the e-tolls being scrapped, right, officially on the 11th of April, there's still billions of rands that are owed. And now...
Who's going to pay that?
The Gauteng government are going to have to cover.
They're
going to
be
so
broke.
They're in debt now.
They're in debt.
Literally.
But I mean, the concept of e-tolls, did you guys understand it from... I never understood it. Why am I paying for a road?
To fix the roads.
Yes. Kanti, what were they fixing the roads all along with? Let's be honest, guys. What were they fixing the roads all along with? We pay tax, and certain amount of that tax goes into things like this, goes into SANRAL to say, SANRAL, please. Kanti, what was the e-toll for? I just think it was another money-making scheme. I'm sorry.
But look now, the province is in debt, and obviously people are different civic groups and bodies. Are ready to take it to the streets.
Yeah, I mean, 20 million.
Being forced to...
20 billion rand is a lot of money.
Exactly. So,
and the
I don't
transport
know.
Minister apologized to citizens for saying things could have been done differently rather than using
I wish it was Fikile Mbalula apologizing, because he really was like, no, South Africans have to pay. South Africans have to pay. Mm. I remember when there was this back and forth between him and Panya Nyaza Lesufi. But the idea of etolls for me was a stupid one. I don't think it should have happened.
I remember it was an outcry even years ago.
By Outa, the organization on tax abuse. I also applaud them for standing up for us to say, but this is wrong. May, we all know what happened in May this year. It was the elections. But before the elections, on the 6th of May, there was a building collapse in the Western Cape. The George building collapse, which saw, 34 people dying.
The Department of Employment and Labour in the Western Cape are still trying to locate the owner of the multi-story building that collapsed in George on Monday. According to the department's chief inspector in the province, David Iso, the owner was issued with a subpoena but has not responded. This emerged during a multidisciplinary briefing at the disaster site by Employment and Labour Minister Tulas Ngesi.
The day we arrived, we then tried to make contact with the client, which is the owner of this premises. The address on our system, we went to that address and it was locked. We then proceeded to issue a subpoena. And up until today, there has been no response from that particular person. So we will proceed with our legal processes. I'm hearing everywhere that he's making contact with people through his attorneys. That's not our business. He is obliged by law to make contact with the Department of Labor.
And just from Mr. Iso, the company whose door you knocked on, so that we're absolutely clear, just the name of where you knocked. Is it a George-based company? Where is that company based?
Well, if you go onto the website, you'll see it says George-based company. I will not further elaborate on that matter. Okay?
Yeah, so it's a five-story building that was under construction. It's alleged that it was going to be apartment buildings. And basically it collapsed. And obviously some of the workforce are said to have not been documented. Lives were lost. People were injured. It was a very sad time in the country. I think for me, the biggest thing that came out is that the owners gave the government a runaround. For the longest time, we couldn't find them, or rather the government could not find these owners. And I feel like it's a trend in this country when there's a tragedy, even with the mine issues that will come later on, we find that owners, we cannot find them. So rescue operations to retrieve people stuck under so much rubble and debris took days, weeks. And some of our reporters from our sister publications were obviously on the ground. President Cyril Ramaphosa visited the site. It was very sad, but
one thing that made me happy was seeing the community come together. There was a time when one of the reporters, they wrote about how a press service was being held. I think how the community came together in George, for me, was really something that I'll never forget about the story. And also, for me, the construction mafia is a big thing. It's a big thing. And I think this building is part of the construction mafia. That's why we don't know who the owners are. Until this day, guys, we will never find out what's going on there. Yeah. Are they rebuilding? What's happening with that site? You know, I don't think that site should even be touched. It should be left like that and made a memorial site where, you know, people can come and visit. People can come and grieve. People can come and cry. I think it should be turned into that. I hope nothing's happening there.
But in September, the Western Cape government said that investigations into the collapse were making progress. But yeah, I think progress will be to see those that were the owners, you know, taking people that are not even documented, who don't even know if safety and health regulations were met. So
taking minors as well, if I'm not mistaken, minors were also involved as workers.
Yeah, it was definitely sad. It was definitely sad.
And this was months before the elections. And not months, but weeks, days. Actually, didn't say days. South Africa was still in that hype of elections. Talking about the elections, also what happened in May on the 20th. When did we go vote, guys? I even forgot. 29th of May.
I'm 24 years old. I graduated 2022. I only got an internship and I haven't been able to find a job since. So now I'm like doing a program to try and upskill myself. And I find it crazy that I have an older sister who also graduated 2017, long time ago. She has not been able to find a job. The cost of living, because I had to move out from home and I was earning 10,000. It got taxed, it's like 9 point something. I'm paying rent of 5,000. I don't even have money for food. I need to buy my own fridge. I don't have things to move out with. How is it that 100 rands worth of electricity doesn't even get you 60 units? That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, just change honestly in service delivery and seeing a difference. I know things are not going to happen immediately, but then if we could just give somebody else a chance and see the economy change from that and see what they could do. Because the other one...
24 years of me being alive versus 30 years of democracy. In my 24 years, everything has just went down. Like the state of service delivery, our standard of living, everything. So I just wanted to see change. They've had 30 years to do something, but nothing has improved so far. It's only a few things that we can say has improved, like welfare funds kind of thing. But so many people year on year, like the number of people that are increasing who depend on welfare are getting higher instead of lower. So that doesn't show improvement in the in our economy, in our country. We still have the voting party in place for now. I'm hoping like something like this, seeing their percentage over the national government change, like decrease, will force them to pull up their socks, try and do something better, not just, you know, I don't want to say they've it's just corruption, you know. Sometimes they do deliver, but not enough, not to satisfy the needs of everyone. There are people who are still suffering, and so I'm hoping that will force them to like pull their socks, basically.
I mean, in my space, these things are corruption, and that.
Yeah,
it's like it's getting out of hand. So if we're not changing that law,
I'm voting for economic freedom because we voted they voted for freedom in 1994. So I think it's a figure cut. So we'll just vote for economic freedom. Yeah, but we are not free when it economically, we are not economically free. So I think we'll just vote for economic freedom and born to talk about economy because our economy in the past maybe 10 years it has been deteriorating or something like that. Yeah. So I think for us as voters, we have to
today, I want to vote because I believe that if vote for me, it will change anything. So like John Manjo, I want to be under a contract. So I'm willing to maybe the parties will win in a sense that it will be permanent because we are looking to be permanent. That's what we want. We want to change South Africa. We are going to ezingekho sihlushwa yi-load shedding, sihlushwa ngamanzi, intontoni. Ke ngoku sibelieve ukuthi if lokho nalokho kungawina kungakhona ukusiza ukuthi yonke into ibe ngolayini.
Our country is in chaos currently. We need to vote for change. Currently, we don't like the situation in our country. This yellow party is playing with us. We need change in this country. There are massive things that we want to see this country one day. Us as black people of South Africa, we want to see our country going somewhere. We want to see our country being recognized globally. And it's us, the youth, who can do that. There's massive corruption in NSFAS. That is even happening currently. What the ANC has done is to move, is to ensure the institution distribute allowance for this month of elections so that they can try to blindfold us and go and vote for them as if they're doing something. Exactly after elections, they say we're going back to those tenet thingings. That's where corruption goes. Secondly, unemployment rate is crazy in South Africa. Our youth is not employed, my brother. Now if we go and check, we graduate, we have degrees, we graduate, after getting graduated, we go and sit at home. Thirdly, the country itself is corrupt. The ANC is corrupt. We need something new. We need fresh blood in government.
Specifically for me, the problems, you know, are safety and security. We have problems of inequality. We have water and electricity problems. Not everyone has access to sanitation. Not everybody has access to education. So how do we even then encourage people to vote if they are not even educated on who they are, their rights, their history as a country, how far they've come from? You know, we are now voting from the premise and the judgment of Mandela set us free. He did not set us free. He might have put us at a certain place, but that is not freedom. Freedom is then deciding what I am going to do then with my vote, you know, based on the information that I have. on this country and the state of this country. But the third intellect, my water, safety, there are women and children that are being raped and killed every day. And now we are yet to vote for a certain party or certain parties that we think are going to do changes. About how, why are they not making those changes now? The free education promise. Education does not have to be free, but education must be accessible. We can never, the moment you have uneducated South African people, you'll forever put them in bondage, because you know that whatever you say can dispute their thoughts and they can obviously not have anything to stand on. So now if we can encourage people to educate themselves, especially when it comes to the politics of this country, you know, then we will find that we will have much more better engagement when it comes to the people of South Africa and the state.
I'll never forget, I stood for 5 hours at Baklu Primary School just to put it out there. I stood to vote and it was my first time and I felt like it was my civic duty. I had to, because we reached a point of we were so tired.
For the first time?
Yeah, it was my first time. The first time I was eligible to vote, I decided to do other things. But this
there's
time,
like many South Africans, young South Africans.
Yes, but this time I decided, stood there for 5 hours. I would say, I think the process would be great if maybe more things could go online, could be electronic.
No, electronic. Hey.
Hear me out, because you found that at the voting stations, right, you have 2 people with a piece of paper and 2 had a tablet. If the tablet dies, go out.
It's out, it's finished.
So in a community, like, it didn't make sense. Like, we need to evolve our voting process. There were many issues across the country.
Then, I don't know, Bulelani, your experience seemed seamless. It seems like you went in and out.
Yeah, mine was in and out. I was even reporting on that day. I was interviewing people. That's when I saw, I was like, the ANC is going down, because I was interviewing so many young people and they were like,
voting.
They're definitely not voting. They want to get the ANC out of power. And there's an article I did about that. So that's when I knew was that, okay, you know what, the ANC. I remember who was sending statements at night. People were still in lines.
In lines. Yes, I remember. I was with Sinesipo Scriber, who were here in the CBD. And I think I left there around midnight. People had still not voted. That's people insane. Were still standing in lines. And then you find that the voter turnout is not even 50%. That did not make sense for me. At all,
but
at all.
Did we not see more youth come out?
We did see more youth, but the numbers just didn't make sense. And I think the IEC was under pressure to get the results out. And then we went to the results operating center. All of us were there. Your guys' experience there. I know some of you guys was the first time at The Rock. What was your experience?
It actually wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yes, because wasn't there The Rock in Pretoria before?
Yeah, The Rock was in Pretoria. Oh, so you've been
there. So this was my
second time. Yeah,
but I feel like I was more on the ground.
On the ground than the first time. Your experience? It was great. It's so nerve-wracking seeing the numbers, because some politicians were angry. Remember, should I mention the names?
Mention
IFP members. Some of the IFP members were so angry.
Yeah, when we interviewed them.
We were trying to get an interview. Do you say, because this was so historical. There was a political party that was not even a year old. I don't even think they were 5 months old, were they?
Yeah.
Infants.
No, they were infants. They were infants.
Yeah, probably infants. 5 months
they
old.
But they were causing havoc.
Infants.
For some political
and what party
parties.
Is that?
That is the Umkhonto we Sizwe party.
At this point, the African National Congress is still keeping a watching brief on what is happening. Not all votes have been casted. We want to keep a watching brief. If there is has to be a conversation about coalitions, it's a conversation that we will have at the right time. And we're going to look at our principles and those that vote for ANC, what they expect from the African National Congress. But we are quite happy with the fact that the democracy project is in full swing. The fact that people are exercising their democratic right is something to be welcomed.
Until we are presented with the results, we remain optimistic. We're sitting here, we don't know which other areas are as yet to report. And therefore, we will remain hopeful, because contesting elections is not about being submissive. Look, the situation in KwaZulu-Natal is of grave concern. You remember also the SG once said that us going into KZN and working hard in that area was precisely because we take cognizance of the fact that we have a former president of the African National Congress who is an organizer himself,
We have issues that affect that province in particular, and therefore working together with the people of KwaZulu-Natal, we must try and reposition the ANC so that it can claim its rightful place amongst the people of KZN.
It was unexpected.
Do you guys think it was unexpected?
It was unexpected. No one actually could have predicted that.
Yeah.
Yes.
The MK would. Like, we knew, okay, Zuma has power and all of that.
But we didn't understand the power that he has.
We didn't think it's that much. Yes. Like, it's the third biggest party right now.
And it's the official opposition in parliament.
Yeah, more than EFF. Yeah. We thought, okay, maybe if it wins, at least it's going to be
under EFF, the EFF. Yes. It got the EFF and the IFP shaking.
And I think I have to note something. When I covered Malema, one of the press conferences, he said, this was even my headline, that the people that left and voted for MK were people that originally were Zuma followers. But they were, you know, being kept warm, being housed in the EFF.
Do you think that that analysis by him is correct?
To a certain degree, yes.
Yeah.
Because he said that after obviously Zuma left the political landscape, people didn't want to be with Cyril, they didn't have a political home. And in terms of ideologies,
I guess, the EFF. Yeah.
The next bet would be the EFF.
Another
leader came back, they were like, "Hi, here's home. Let's go."
And I must say, the EFF, you could see Julius, he was quite disappointed. And for the first time since 1994, the ANC really fell on its knees.
Yeah.
They got, below 50%.
I think we must be grateful as South Africans now that ANC has got no majority any longer to push the agenda and protect one another. Those days are gone.
We would be dishonest if we did not acknowledge that in many respects, we have become our own worst enemy, though. 30 years since we achieved our liberation, our biggest challenge is the loss of confidence of our people in the ANC's ability to lead the transformation of society.
Let's pray that our opponents must embrace the outcomes of these elections, because they are going to be defeated, because if God is with us, who can be against us?
It was about time. I think ANC had gotten very complacent and comfortable. And it was about time. Things need to be shaken up.
For you to work. Yeah. Halima Mutlante has said this before, guys. He said the ANC needs to lose power. That's when the word renew itself.
Yeah.
But I think also, Thabo, you hosted the 30 Years of Democracy podcast.
Yeah.
Through all the interviews you've done and just interacting, many of ANC members have said the same thing.
Said the same thing. Yeah. Even
like they lost sight.
They really did.
Yeah,
they were
read the room.
Kind of naive about, they thought that they would be in power always, and that was not the case.
They were tone deaf. They were very tone deaf to what is happening.
They were gaslighting us before all of this. For real, they were.
It's for gaslighting.
Like, for example, would say, we have no water or something, and Malula would be like, you should appreciate that there is a tap in your yard. Things like that.
That's exactly. True. So, and cutting ribbons for taps. I mean, that's a basic need.
I remember when there was a time President Ramaphosa was in Hammanskraal, and obviously there was the whole.
I was there.
And
when he was
said to people that they should boil the water, and people were like, we don't have electricity. Like, hello,
and
read the room, Dad.
On this day, the 18th of December, we still have the same problems anyway.
So
I appreciated the ANC's maturity when after the results.
They had no choice.
Yeah, Balula came out and was like, we accept the result. Well, there was no one wanting to contest anything, even though the other party, MK, was like, the results are wrong and whatever.
Yeah.
So many small parties were so quick to just disappear and join the MK.
I'm sorry. Colleen, we love you. We love you, Mama. We love you. But to call Zuma, Zuma, Mama, Moses.
But I think for me, like, the support that he garnered and then this hope that he gave.
Also, Ace Magashule also joined the MK, and they had a whole briefing, you know what
I
mean?
How much did his party win?
But it's just the hope 1%. That Zuma brought, and I think the fed-upness of, like, we're done with the ANC.
People, see, I know people were.
It was crazy. Even, like, when he arrived at The Rock, it was as if Beyonce, Jay-Z
I remember. Guys, I even felt people's phones were stepped on somebody's laptop.
Before, do you remember, guys, before he came, cameras were already rolling.
We stood and waited for him for about 1.5 hours.
The complaints that they've been put forward are too serious. Very, very serious. This is not, or they are not like small little points. they are very, very serious. Nobody must force us to say now this is what are as the results. Well, the results are not correct. I think the institutions must satisfy us that they did look into the issues. Nobody must declare tomorrow. Yes. No. If that happens, people will be provoking us because we know what we are talking about.
Performing pretty well. I think we are obviously the underdogs. No one had any faith in us. And I think we are showing some signs of proving some people wrong. Mm.
And it looks like you guys are going to take the premiership of KZN. Am I right or wrong?
Listen, we're aiming for 2/3 majority, so we're expecting premiership somewhere, you know, anyways. When President Zuma made the announcement December 16, he spoke about working with progressive black parties. So that's where we stand. As long as you're wanting land back, nationalization, we're on the same page. They're not. For as long as they still run by the ANC Ramaphosa.
Now, if the impact is in KZN, it reflects something different. It reflects Zulu tribalism. And I don't think we should actually lock ourselves into Zulu tribalism. Tribalism is a backward form of politics. It is having its time frame. It disappears. So if that is the factor, I'm not worried about it.
We have come here to come and work. We have been elected. We will do our best to stay above petty politics. We're not here to be petty. We're here to work because we have been elected by the people of this country. We consider that to be our role, and we are going to engage in a very robust debate, but in a respectful manner. Right. But please make no mistake, we are not going to allow ourselves to be bullied by anyone. We know our rights, we are adults, we know why we're here. But we are going to be polite and courteous to colleagues, but firm on the issues that we stand for.
But I must say the PA also did well. Mm. Gayton's party also did well. Let's not take that away. They're the fifth biggest, if I'm not mistaken. Fifth biggest party in South Africa. I mean, let's
Gayton
be honest.
Gayton knows how to campaign.
But he did well. He did well. Mm. That, and that's why he is where he is.
He was so excited. He gave us high fives.
Like, I mean, he was like, even Kenny Kunene was like, high spirits there at The Rock. And then we move on to June, the aftermath of the elections. And then we got to discover this thing called the government
of national unity.
All we want is progress to advance the lives of South Africans. That's the main issue that I am going to focus on. If you want to work with me to create jobs, then you are my friend. If you don't want to work with me, then you are not my friend. If you don't want to create jobs for our people. So nalabo ababu government of national unity. Umabazo kanga. Banga sebezi kunye nati. Sizaubakipa. Bazo.
We said to the president this morning that despite the fact that we're not participating in the cabinet, we'll however request him to ask the ANC to support our candidate for the Speaker of Parliament. And in exchange for that, we'll support the ANC's candidature for president. If they refuse to give us the Speaker, we are prepared to take the Deputy Speaker on condition that the Speaker candidate is from the ANC or from any progressive party, not the DA or the Freedom Front.
The configuration that we have managed to negotiate ensures that alongside the ANC, the DA is the only other party that is now represented across every one of the clusters in government. This means that, for the very first time ever, the voices of DA voters will be heard in every sector and in every room where decisions are made about our country's future. In the economics cluster, the DA will use our influential cabinet seats in agriculture, public works and infrastructure, forestry, fisheries and the environment, as well as our deputy minister roles in finance, trade and industry, and small business development to pursue a rapid growth and job creation agenda for the country. On the governance front, the DA will build on our experience in improving service delivery to reform and enhance the vital frontline portfolio of Home Affairs. We will use our representation as Minister of Basic Education, as well as our Deputy Minister of Higher Education, to focus like a laser beam on improving the quality of education our children and students receive. And our representation in the communication portfolio, alongside the deputy positions in water and sanitation, as well as energy and electricity, enables the DA to contribute positively to the improvement of these critical services.
What do you guys make of it?
That's fine.
Is it bloated? Is it working?
It is definitely bloated.
But do you think the president had a choice? He had to please everyone. No. Do you think he had a choice to say, okay, I'm only going to get 14 ministers? It had to be bloated, guys.
I think for me, it didn't surprise. Obviously, yeah, there were speculations before. Yeah. I just think for me, it's so interesting to see the dynamics thus far.
Yeah.
They are not gelling. It's parties with very conflicting views. So it's just, it's very interesting. The leadership of it all, agreeing on bills and acts that need to be signed, the direction the country should move in. They just, I don't know.
Yeah, I think as some ANC members have been saying and political analysts, that the GNU is there to make sure that the ANC is still like in power. Because they could have, I don't think it was necessary for it for the cabinet to be bloated. Like, they could have chosen one minister from this one, one minister from this, but it was like, okay, we want to have, so we have,
but remember, now you're trying to please, because now it's beyond the president's conversation, because now you have a thing of, now it's Fikile Mbalula, Helen Zilla, it's them talking. So it's not, it's not anymore it's not the president's decision anymore. Now it's like you have to please everyone. And do you guys think the ANC made a mistake by joining with the DA? Do you think they should have joined EFF, MK? And that's a conversation
that EFF and MK are very clear. Yeah.
Well, in the middle of these elections, the president went and signed another controversial bill. The NHI bill, which is...
Haba tubaya dingake, haba lwa alaba kula,
we realize that when people go to health facilities, they pay exorbitant fees. That is why I signed a national health insurance law. That is why I signed a national health insurance law, so that when you are sick, you don't pay. The fund will pay.
In implementing the NHR, we are confident that we will be able to bring stakeholders together and that we will be able to resolve differences and clarify misunderstandings.
Basically, what the NHI does, in summary, it aims to provide universal coverage throughout a major overhaul of South Africa's two-tier system, meaning that me, as a normal South African, I can go walk into Mopark Mediclinic.
Sandton, and get, you know,
but what this also does is that it limits medical aids, basically phasing out of medical aids at the end of the day. What do you guys think of the NHI bill? B?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea because we want to be equal. Everyone must have access to health. No one must die, because you can be in a hospital. You know, right now in South Africa, you can be in a hospital bed. But if you can't afford health, the doctors will move. Will say their hands are tied and they will let you die when they know that they can help you. So, because of that, and how many, like, we already know the public health system is not.
But there's this thing in my head that always says, Uguti, if, I mean, look at the public system. Do you think if we implement NHI, the private system will also end up like that? I'm just asking.
That's my thing.
That's what I'm scared of.
If we barely deal or have with a universal public standard of care in public,
imagine, so it might cripple.
I'm just asking. It's just a thought that I had to say, what if now the private sector also gets crippled and becomes like the public? Then basically we're going to have a health system like our neighbors there.
Yeah.
And then we move on to July. PlayStations. PlayStations and all were found in our prisons.
PlayStations, routers, what else? Plasmas.
So the new Minister of Correctional Services, Peter Groenewald, started his tenure by sparking controversy. Not controversy, but by sparking.
He did his job.
Something's not been done. So he created raids. So it first started at the biggest prison in South Africa, which is Sun City. And they found PlayStations, Wi-Fi routers, TVs. I mean, they found. What do you guys make of this? I laughed when I saw these videos.
I think it goes back to the lawlessness in this country.
Yeah.
Criminals know that it's a banana republic. Yo. It's a gangster's paradise. Yeah. You can do what you like. Exactly. I mean, you can go get an education in prison, but you're struggling to get NSFAS. You don't even have to ask your parents for PlayStation. Just get arrested. You'll get it in jail type of thing. Like, you're living so soft and comfortably. And I remember, I think it was weeks before the raid started, there was a prisoner that was trending on social media.
Yeah.
Bragging about the life they have.
And that's what I think sparked. That's what I think sparked the whole raid thing by Groenewald.
Yeah. I just think it was shocking, but I'm not surprised. We always hear of this. I think the level of contraband that's going in is what shocked me. How does a plasma get past guards?
Security.
Right?
But that's why we have a thing like Thabo Peste at the end of the day.
Yeah, when you guys were saying the criminals in this country have become so brazen now.
And I remember,
Because now I can do anything I want to do because I'm like, anyway, even if I go to prison, I'll live the best life.
It's a hotel. Yeah. And then in July, we had drama. You know, we had drama between a couple that I thought had hope. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, well, Latoya is.
Please.
I'm not going to have some pathological liar. Like, I am in disbelief. The only thing that got to me, outside of everything that has happened with the media, the only thing that got to me in all of this is Latoya's lies! Yes! This is frustrating. I wish you guys knew what it means to have slept next to someone for 4 years and you didn't know what you were sleeping next to. For me, it's the lies. We asked this woman. My family pleaded with her. We asked her, can you guys part ways amicably? Can you take out a joint statement? Actually, it did not. You know, the one thing that could have broken me is actually what happened prior to this interview, you know, with my name being dragged in the mud by someone who meant so much to me, all in the name of selling an album. What I don't understand is, you want to sell an album, why don't you sell an album? Why go do media interviews and say I am healing with everything that you've gone through? Exactly what it is that you are healing from? You know, go through your healing, leave me out of it. Do you know the pain that you've caused me? Do you know the trauma that you've caused me? I'm going through my healing on my own without involving you in it. Why not leave me out of it and sell your album? Why not continue living your life and allow me to live my life and stop using public sympathy, right? And stop using the media and your followers to attack me and think I am going to be silenced and think that I'm going to keep quiet.
If you guys don't know the famous TikTok, please go check it out.
Yeah.
Lebu actually came and spoke to Chisa. Hey. Spoke to, hey, remember when she came here? Yeah.
She didn't hold back.
She spoke for how long, Ochoy?
It was a venting session, that was so loud.
You know,
I think she was, yeah, she was tired of being dragged because LaToya did a Sunday interview first. And Lebu was alleging that there was what, infidelity, abuse,
sleeping
drugs.
With a Nigerian man, drugs.
She literally, like, and
something
became,
about, you know.
LaToya being a fake gobella. It was a constant back and forth, like them going at each other. But I think it was Lebu more than LaToya. I think at some point LaToya actually just kept quiet.
Kept quiet, yeah.
But Lebu has been, ever since till today, we haven't had a break. She's even started her own podcast.
You're alive.
And even on that podcast, people don't even have time to talk. She asked them a question and then the next thing it's her talking.
Oh, that podcast, like, that podcast is a mess,
it's
eh?
And oh my! As much as we're laughing, these are serious issues.
Yeah, no, they are. They are.
It's serious.
It's
allegations.
Serious issues. Yeah. And now we move on to August, right? But before I move on to August, also in July we had some controversy happening there by Miss South Africa, and I'm talking about none other than Chidima
Adichina.
Where do I even start with this, guys? I think. I feel sorry for her now when I think of what we put her through. But she was a contestant. South Africans. When I say we, I mean South Africans. Online, what we put her through. I think we're not even aware until Miss SA's reality show, I think, right? Started playing. And then people were like...
Before it aired. Had it aired?
I think it had aired. It had.
But obviously,
because it has to air in end of July because the competition is in August. So people started realizing, Chidima, what kind of a South African name is that? You know, but she was subjected to scrutiny online about her blood, her bloodline, because her father is Nigerian, her mother is Mozambican, and she was born in Baragwanath Hospital.
But the issue was what? Her documentation.
But her issue was, the South Africans started catching on when they realized Chidima Adichina, South Africa.
Yeah.
That's when South Africans were like, no.
And then
dug deep until it got to a point whereby
her citizenship
came into question. Our Home Affairs Department now is going to investigate. And they actually found a prima facie case against Chidima's mother.
An ongoing investigation by Home Affairs has found prima facie indications of fraud committed by Chidima Adichina's mother. The Department of Home Affairs herewith provides an update on the ongoing investigation into the citizenship of Miss Chidima Adichina, a contestant in the upcoming Miss SA event. The reason for the ongoing nature of the investigation is that its scope has broadened since the original request received from the organizers of Miss SA, based on the information uncovered by Home Affairs investigators thus far. The department nonetheless provides this update to the public based on that official request and consent. We will provide a final update once the investigation is concluded. Upon receiving the request for investigation, the department deployed every resource at its disposal to establish the truth. This has included archival research, visits to hospitals, and site visits to verify information. From the information we have uncovered thus far, the Department of Home Affairs can indicate that prima facie reasons exist to believe that fraud and identity theft may have been committed by the person recorded in Home Affairs records as Chidima Adichina's mother. Adichina herself could not have participated in the alleged unlawful actions of her mother, as she was an infant at the time when the activities took place in 2001. An innocent South African mother, whose identity may have been stolen as part of the alleged fraud, suffered as a result because she could not register her child. The department has broadened its investigation to identify and pursue any officials involved in the alleged scheme and is obtaining legal advice on the implications of the alleged fraudulent activity on Adichina's citizenship status. And finally, upon the completion of the investigation, Home Affairs intends to press criminal charges and convict all implicated parties. This case, which stems from alleged fraudulent activities committed 23 years ago, highlights the urgent need for the digital modernization of Home Affairs applications, adjudication and verification processes to insulate the department against fraudulent interference, similar to the reforms undertaken at the South African Revenue Service in the late 2000s. The case also highlights the reason for the department's blocking of certain duplicate IDs and that the court-ordered unblocking of these documents must be handled with caution. Throughout this process, Home Affairs is guided by our commitment to both restoring and upholding the rule of law as well as the right...
Yo, what do you guys make of this? There's so much happening here.
But,
and then she withdrew from the competition a day before or 2 days before the competition. It is just a lot.
According to my knowledge, all of this in terms of her citizenship, the identity documents, it was done when she was a child, like a baby.
Yeah.
I blame the mother. The mother must account.
Oh,
but obviously now she was the one in the spotlight.
Yeah,
she was
the one in the spotlight.
Being dragged, yes.
And do you think she knew? I mean, this is a conversation we've also had. It's been on the Chisa pod as well. Do you think she knew, Wutsi? My mother did fraudulent things here.
One thing I can say, people lie. Parents lie to protect their kids.
Hmm.
We don't know, but...
It's possible that she didn't tell her daughter.
Are you guys sure? I mean, you're exposing yourself into South Africa, and you think no one's gonna catch
her? She was invited to Nigeria.
Yeah, she was invited to compete in Miss Universe Nigeria.
And she won, and she came during, like it had already come.
Do you think that was planned by the Miss Universe Nigeria team?
I think so. It was like, come, child, we'll put you.
Come home, child.
Wing. Yes.
They felt sorry for her.
Yes, but it was also unfair for those contestants.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
and she knew nothing about that
Nigeria
culture. Herself. Exactly.
Well, just like here.
But now she's learned.
Whoa.
So.
Then after that, she participated in Miss Universe and came second. And now she's Miss Universe Africa. Can you like,
South Africa?
No, Miss Universe Africa. Like, you know, almost okay. When she was second in Miss Universe, that automatically makes her Miss Universe Africa.
I'm not a pageant girl.
Well, I am. So
I don't know these things.
I love pageants. So now she's Miss Universe Africa, but she's also decided to step down from pageants and focus on her education. But the story of Chidima is one for the record books. It's one that we'll never forget.
I think I commend her resilience. Like, she didn't allow herself to be bullied, but also she did say that she was, like, it took a toll on her mental health. But yeah, these things happen to more drama.
In August, we had a pastor there by Katlehong going to a school carrying pangas.
Primary.
With a primary school with his apparently his son.
And his bodyguards.
And they came to get their grandchildren out of the school. And he almost sliced one of the teachers with his panga. And then the next day.
Who are you speaking about? I mean, come on.
The one and only. The man with the nice nails there.
The one who went to heaven
and had a conversation with Jesus.
Minangi won by 10. Naba slice. No name be elect.
Currently, there's a court case.
Yes, there is a court case. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and he's made bail.
And he's made bail. I mean, he's also facing charges of, isn't it intimidating and inciting violence as well? That's one of the charges. And now we go into the EFF's. I wouldn't say downfall, but EFF facing its turmoil. I mean, 11 years since we've had this party, it was bound to happen. So its former deputy president, Floyd Chifambu, decided to just resign after 11 years in the party. He jumped ship to join Umkhonto weSizwe, where he is now the secretary general of the party. Soon after that, former public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, also jumped ship to join the MK, where she is now the convener of the Mpumalanga region. Zanele Manye also damned the EFF to join the MK, where he is now chief whip of the party in parliament. The last one to join MK was Dalim Pofu, which was expected.
The people's advocate.
Is he the people's advocate? Also left the EFF to join MK.
We know that there was some level of fallout between Chivambo and Malema. We know that Chivambo has got leadership aspirations. We know that the EFF under Julius Malema does not leave the space for that. So we have been aware.
Did we deploy Comrade Floyd as a national organizer because we want to destroy the EFF? Far from it. Comrade Floyd has been, all our comrades are deployed to various structures on merit. There's no one who's being deployed because we want to destroy the EFF as a party. were running our own political programs as the Umkhonto weSizwe Party, regardless of the EFF's position on any issue. So he is a very...
Moving on to September, where we had the former minister, Pravin Gordhan, pass away at the age of 75. This was filled with mixed emotions from many people. Mm. Some people.
I remember the EFF statement.
Oh my!
Yeah. Scathing.
Scathing. So. Oh my! But he had a very mixed bag, as we were to say.
Controversial.
I don't want to say controversial, but a mixed bag of. Let's not forget
political
that
career.
Yeah, but he did try. There was a point where he was a hero, hey? Remember when Zuma fired him and Cebisi Jonas? He was now the hero of state capture. So let's also not forget the work that Pravin did, and may his soul rest in peace. I mean, he was in hospital after a battle he had with cancer. So yeah, the minister passing away on the 13th of September. Moving on to October. So much happened in October, guys. The good news is that we had 200 days without load shedding. Eskom congratulated itself in October as the country marked 200 days, consecutive days without load shedding, uninterrupted power since March. There were some places that were experiencing a load reduction, by the way. Let's not make it sound it was everyone had power.
Yeah.
I know, let's not, you know. The utility says load shedding suspension has led to a prediction of a 2% GDP growth for South Africa. Please, should we praise a fish?
I'm that person.
For swimming?
Should we praise a fish for swimming? Like, I think they've taken so much from us that now we like... Thank you for the basics.
For doing your job.
Saved us.
For doing their job.
You know what I mean?
I mean, may it continue. I think I read somewhere today that there might be power cuts back.
Yeah, they will. But next year, I also saw that.
It's just, it impacts everything. Hospitals, the economy, businesses.
But guys, let's not make it sound like this, like it was 200 days for everyone. There are some people who are experiencing load reduction. Mm. I stay in Ferndale. Power just goes away. You don't even know why. You know what I mean? Mm. Also in October, we had another minister pass away, Tito Mboweni, who passed away on the 12th of October. During his maiden budget speech in 2019, former Minister of Finance, Tito Mboweni, introduced an indigenous aloe plant, which remains one of his most memorable addresses. The speech exemplified his unwavering belief in the resilience of South Africans. In the following 2 years, Mboweni frequently referenced the aloe plant to inspire South Africans to endure the challenges of a difficult economy.
The aloe ferox. This is one of the best known South African plants. It has a long history of medicinal use. It is resilient, sturdy, and drought resistant. It withstands the elements. We must take the bitter with the sweet.
The former South African Reserve Bank governor passed away on Saturday night after a brief illness at the age of 65. He was the first black South African to hold the position of Reserve Bank governor from 1999 to 2009. And served as a minister in former President Nelson Mandela's cabinet from 1994 to 1999. His last position as a public servant was being the finance minister from 2018 to 2021 in President Cyril Ramaphosa's first executive cabinet. After retiring from government in 2021, Mboweni's presence continued to resonate. His name even appeared in a song by Casper Nyovest. In the later years of his life, he enjoyed the tranquility of his home in Mahupa's Kloof mountain range in Polokwane, becoming a beloved figure on X, formerly known as Twitter, often sharing his culinary adventures with Lucky Star Fish. Etlela Hikurula, Tito Mboweni, reporting for Times Live. I am Thabo Tshabalala. Well, in October also marked 10 years since this trial, since Senzo Meyiwa was killed. Yeah, five people on trial for the murder of Senzo. It's five people now.
Yeah, five men.
We've had incidents in court where
delayed.
Somebody was arrested in court. One of the lawyers.
Yes.
We've had a lawyer pass away. We've had a new judge. Mm-hmm. We had a judge who was found that he was incompetent.
Current judge is controversial.
The current judge is controversial. There was a man.
I think some of the biggest allegations that have come out is linking some of the accused men to his then girlfriend, singer Kelly Kumalo, cell phone records. But also, there's been issues of tampering of the crime scene. There's just been so much.
Close this whole thing. I'm sorry, guys. Like,
at some point, it was almost a mistrial.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a mistrial.
But I think it's sad, and it says something about our legal system as well.
Mm. Just wrap it up.
His family. There's so many people that have testified there too. You know after getting the new judge, people had to come again.
His brother was on one of the channels a few days ago, saying that some of the lawyers are even lying themselves. Mm. Ivalene, just close it.
It's
close
messy.
The whole thing.
It's very, very sad.
It's okay. Like, it's really okay. I think I know we want justice for Senzo, but it can't carry on because it will never end then. You know what I mean? Mm.
We are yet to know what happened to Senzo, but for those.
And then, you know, speaking about more sad news, there was also mass killings happening in the Eastern Cape, guys. What's going on in your home province? Hey,
18 people killed.
Yeah, and I hate that people keep saying we deserve what's happening because we voted for the ANC. Social media chatters, like, that's what we get for voting for the ANC. But there was more than one killing, right? Or it was two places, the Lusikisik.
It was a whole family, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was two villages where there was a killing, a Lusikisik. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And
then some safety patrols in Abobabe were killed, four or five.
But I know that they did find the person who's on trial. And yeah, no, it's quite messy there in your
home. Is it alleged that he orchestrated everything from behind bars? Like, I'm still trying to understand why did he do this?
Mm, that's what Minister Mkuno was saying. And also, the NPA also said something similar, that the man arrested was on parole. Another man was on parole, and then another one was orchestrating everything from prison.
Behind bars.
That they have to move on their side as correctional services and introduce new mechanisms through which they will be able to make people who are in prison know that once you are in prison, you are in prison. It's no place where you must even think of coordinating and all of that. So far they have access, they get access to phones, they get access to other individuals with whom they liaise and commission of crime and all of that. We are quite aware about that, because it means that after the commission of another crime, it means that police must then begin to investigate one small link, that person, arrest him or her for the second time. So we were saying, in case it happens in relation to the CBCP, people must understand that it's in the context of what's happening in the country at the moment. And it's a phenomenon that we need to stop and can stop via correctional services.
Yeah. You see what I mean about our prisons? Moving on to the second last month of the year. So much happened, guys. I mean, where do I even start? Do I start with Stilfontein, or do I start with the Spaza shops? Which one?
The magnitude is just shock factor.
It emerged that they were miners underground.
Thousands.
Through the police's Valamgodi operation. Apparently there were at first it was like 4,500 people down there who didn't want to resurface because they didn't want to be arrested. Mm. Right?
It was said that they were trapped, but it turns out they're actually not trapped.
Not trapped, yes.
Well, also that leaves room for speculation.
There's just a lot happening.
Of the miners that have emerged, some are saying that they are being forced into the labor. Some,
like the miners. Yeah. Isn't it weird how the miners resurfacing?
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at them, most of them are saying, and when you look at other publications, they are saying that they are hungry. So the food that is being sent down there, they're not getting.
But why are we even sending food down there? That's already another problem.
I think now, and I have this thing that if it was just foreigners, it wouldn't be the case. But the community in the area has kids. So it's South Africans. There was a lady on the radio saying that two of her sons are there. It's better than Ufole line for 350 or robbing people. So it's a mixed bag of people. So the community is trying to help their
people. But it's dangerous to go down there.
And
you even know that.
And it takes about what? 45 minutes to an hour
to get down there.
People are dying.
For me, it's the letters that are just surfacing as well.
And yeah, the
I don't know if it's a joke. Beef, mayonnaise,
tobacco,
tomato sauce,
ARVs.
What's next? Maporisa, send Maporisa down there for December.
I think what's crazy to me is that there are 6,000 abandoned mines in this country, and our eyes are on one. And
by the way, Graham, who used to work here, did a whole story on that. By the way, for people who don't know, just go
but
on Times
this
Live.
This has been happening. Zamazamas are not a new phenomenon, and it will continue to happen because, sadly, people on this continent are starving. These are syndicates. I feel like Zamazamas are at the bottom, and I keep saying this to everyone. Zamazamas are foot soldiers.
So they are the real people.
Syndicate, if you don't cut the snake at the top, this will always happen. And for me, for a minister to say smoke people out is very negligent.
That was a bit negligent.
And it seems also to be a scapegoat. We wouldn't be in this issue if we had better law enforcement and our borders were closed.
We're going to send help underground to the Zama Zama. South Africans. You want us to send help to criminals? You want us to send help to criminals, honestly? We're not sending help to criminals. We're going to smoke them out. They will come out.
I've indicated numerous times that as a responsible government, we are not going to be allowing our men and women in blue, as well as our soldiers, to go down there combat this particular activity. It is dangerous. For the mere fact that we have consulted with the mine owner, we have consulted with DMRE, and they are telling us that it is unsafe. It's inhumane to allow people to go down there.
Also, another controversial thing we had in November was the whole issue of spaza shops, children dying this year. Yeah. They're calling it, what are they calling it again? Foodborne illnesses.
Yeah, let's
not beat around the bush. This is poisoning children. Mm. We are beating around the bush. We're looking for names that the media can use. This is killing children.
But also at some point when Aaron Motsoaledi had a briefing, it was found that in that specific, I can't remember, it wasn't Naledi, it was another
area.
There's
been so many.
But the snacks that the kids ate that they bought from the spaza shop, the poison wasn't in those snacks. So
what's going on? There's something happening. There's something happening.
You can't just have a surgence of kids just dying.
Some people are saying this is it's done by the community themselves to smoke out this puzzle shop.
But they're also saying this poison is used for an agriculture, the main one. It's a turboforce. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the sad thing is that it's highlighted an issue of the foods that are being sold in spaza shops. It's not great. The conditions are not great. The manufacturing of food, there's no regulations. Mm. The registration process, it's a lot.
But now it's been extended at least to February.
But does it mean me registering my spaza shop? It doesn't mean kids are not going to die. It doesn't mean I'm not going to manufacture old food. Do you get what I'm saying?
But also, when we say spaza shops, we close to Braamfontein. What are those?
Now, today, what in the those? Briefing, they said spaza shop and food, smaller food outlets.
You see what I mean?
So the definition.
So now it keeps changing. And this was something I asked, and I said, these shops in Braamfontein, you know, what are they? They are spaza shops.
Everybody needs to be registered, whether you're foreign or local. And South Africans need to stop renting and signing things on behalf of.
But remember, friend, we are in an economy where we can't make.
I understand.
There's no money.
But my thing is, like, then we can't be the very same South Africans to doi doi and burn down foreign-owned spaza shops when you know Ngubabu Dlamini, Ngubabu Khoza, that is, you know, Mastandi that's renting. So we are the very problem. But the sad thing is that kids have died, and I feel like the government needs to do more. It needs to go beyond registration.
Beyond, yeah.
Sorry, I know I get passionate, but
no, I can hear you. But for me, it's one of those things whereby, it's I don't know if this will ever stop. There's a whole street that I know filled with spaza shops. So I don't think you can't stop it. We're moving on to December now, the month that we are in. The EFF has new leadership. We have a new deputy president of the EFF by Godrej Gadi, who was the EFF secretary general at the second MPA, first MPA as well. He was also the head of international relations. We have another lady by the name of Nontando. Mm-hmm. Nontando. Many people were uproared on social media by this announcement, saying that she's old. By the way, she's 65 years old. What do you guys make of the new EFF leadership?
Yeah. It didn't need to be a conference.
Yeah.
That's my comment.
Yeah.
Well, we need a conference, though, as a political party. It's not just about...
Their conference and not invite the media.
Haibu. But what kind of a conference would that be?
For the leadership, they could have just sent... an email.
He said on Twitter, by the way, an ex. You said they just sent us an email.
Yeah, they should have just sent an email. Here are the top leadership that Malema picked, because it's him who picked it.
But then that's the whole... somebody said to me, there's nothing wrong with having a dictator as a leader. Somebody said that to me. It's like, sometimes you need that.
Also, Malema's not the only dictator.
He's not the only dictator in politics. He's not.
Yeah.
He's not. I mean, you have Gates and McKenzie. Have they went to a conference? Mm. I mean, Mashaba, have they been to a conference?
I think for me, it's just interesting, the future of the EFF.
Yeah. Do you think it's over?
But yeah, someone was saying, an analyst was saying, as much as the top six is not exciting of the EFF, but it's a formidable, what is the word? But it's a formidable leadership that can actually build the party.
Can they?
Apparently.
The proof is in the pudding.
Well, let's see what happens. But many people saying this is the downfall of the EFF. I doubt, given me being there in that conference and seeing people still believe in the EFF.
Don't brush over Undlozi, question mark.
Yeah, there's a huge question mark there. There's a huge... I mean, he's now posting all of a sudden. He came out live all of a sudden.
I wonder what's going to happen.
He posted a picture of Steve Biko. I don't know what that means on X. I wonder what that means. Black consciousness.
Wasn't it Steve Biko's birthday?
Mm-hmm. That was
26 October.
That was October.
There's an anniversary or celebration, though. Someone said something.
He posted a whole thing, a picture of Steve Biko today.
Like, it has something to do with the celebration or anniversary or remembrance. I don't think it has anything
to
do with...
Oh, no, yeah. It's his death day.
It's his death today.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's just weird how you came alive. I don't know. It's weird how all of a sudden Closey is now on social media again. I found that weird. Also,
but we need to watch that space.
Do you think we should? Some people are saying he's just going to stay in the EFF, but like, he's nothing in the EFF. He's not even part of the CCT.
Nothing, just a member.
The Central Command Team. He's just a member. A lot's happening there. Mm-hmm. And the way Julius was like, he's not here. So
I don't know what you want me to answer on Ndlozi, because I never said anything about Ndlozi. So do not bring your Shebin gossip to me and want me to glorify some toilet discussion. I'm not part of that. EFF has never said anything. If we've got anything to tell you, we'll communicate it.
Also, we had the celebration of Mkhonto Wesizwe turning one.
Philip Moses Mabhida.
Was it really filled up?
Semi filled up, almost. It was not Chris Brown. It wasn't Breezy Ball.
No. It's not crazy.
The turnout was huge. We can't sleep on that. Yeah.
We can't sleep on the fact that this party has done something that has never been done. It's like a Tyler. They've done something that will change, that's changed the political landscape. That even caused division within the EFF. Mm. Even caused division within...
It caused chaos.
It caused chaos.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, Jacob Zuma says he's still an ANC member, so...
Hey, that's another thing.
That's very interesting. Yeah. But just to wrap it up, as we wrap up this conversation, let's not forget, Ukuthi, all of these people come from the African National Congress. Yeah. Let's not forget that. We cannot dismiss that, can we? We cannot dismiss it.
What did they say? Did they call them ANC rebels?
ANC rebels. This is ANC. It's the ANC, I'm sorry to say, multiplying.
Mm. Yeah, Jacob Zuma has...
even the EFF, the EFF is ANC. All of these people come from the ANC.
But it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
You don't align with the party you're in to do something.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, even with the national dialogue, when is that? coming up?
It's coming up next year.
We want change. There can be a million political parties.
Do you think we even need that
the
dialogue?
The issues of this country remain. What's the point?
Like, what's the point
the
of
parties
the dialogue?
Need to stop fighting each other. We're tired of talking. We want change as citizens.
I'm tired of a talk shop.
Yeah. Continue to do it.
Yeah, may God bless South Africa and protect her people. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're here to see you guys next year again, hopefully for more podcasts, more stories, anything you guys want to say before we go into 2025, because Mina Seng Champilo already, I'm there.
Just make sure you subscribe to our content, follow us, Times Live in the News, Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Gogo Have I Been Scammed, Taking the Rams by the Horns.
There's a new one coming up, 30 years and beyond.
The follow-up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also
boots on the
back.
Ground.
Boots
we're
on
available
the ground.
On all digital streaming platforms. Iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcast.
Award-winning podcast is here.
Of course.
What can we say?
Thank you guys for tuning in. And may you guys have a successful 2025. And we'll certainly be back. And better than ever.
Yebo.
Adios.
Just.